Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Comics Pals Reviews. I, of course, am your host, Sean, joined this week by Robotic Marco.
Beep boop.
And Tired Tyler.
Hey. Hey, sorry. Doze off a bit.
You know, I thought about...
I like the alliteration to my name, at least. I could be like a early Golden Age Superman character, so...
Yeah, well, I thought about giving you a different nickname. I was going to call you Glizzy King.
Oh, okay. I can't take that nickname.
No,
but it is nice having three people from New York here.
There you go.
It is.
Like, Glizzies are a thing. I believe it's a DC or like a Maryland origin, the term Glizzy. On the most recent episode of the Comics Pals, Kale and Pete did not know what a glizzy was. A glizzy is a hot dog. You'd call him a glizzy when your boy is eating a hot dog, and he may be eating too much of the hot dog at once, and you know, then you got to let everyone know, like, yo, this guy's eating this glizzy a little weird. You call him out and you make him embarrassed about eating a hot dog. So like, he's got to like hide it, you know, like there's it's a whole thing, and I think it kind of migrated to upwards to New York from there.
Yeah, and it's perfect. You know, in New York, we love humor like that. And, you know, we love to embarrass our friends.
I do love hot dogs. I
haven't had a hot dog, man, in probably like 20 years, to be honest.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm off the glizzy train.
Not the glizzy king.
Not the glizzy king. So today we're going to be talking about two Marvel number ones. We've got Hulk number one. This is the debut of Donny Cates and Ryan Otley, and Black Panther number one. This is the debut of John Ridley and Juan Cabal. So both creative teams, including everybody else that I didn't immediately mention, are really strong. But are their debuts on these books strong? That's what we're here to talk about today. Hopefully you guys enjoy our conversation. If you do, make sure that you leave us a follow, a rating, and a review wherever you're listening to us. If that's YouTube, youtube.com/thecomicspals, subscribe to our channel for free. We are on the road to 500 subscribers, and it would mean a lot if you would just hit that subscribe button, like the video, share it with your friends. All that stuff is free to do, and it helps us out a lot more than it costs you. If you want to hear, go ahead.
I was going to say, if we're on the road to 500 subscribers, like, is it like a thing we're doing? Can you get like a 500 subscriber sign and point at it every so often? You know,
that would be great.
Look and point. It's like the WrestleMania sign. Just do
that. We need that. We need a road to 500 subscribers banner or something cool.
Yeah,
rip it up. If you want to hear our thoughts about Image Comics, that drops every Wednesday. This week, I think the guys talked about Gunslinger 2 and what else?
Reading Black.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah.
I wasn't there. Sorry.
What am I talking? You're just on top of it more so than some of us.
Yeah. I was a little busy, so I'm sorry.
You were a little glizzy?
No. I was slinging glizzy. Anyway, and if you want to hear your thoughts read on the air, we cover all of the comments that we get on our main show, The Comics Pals, which drops every single Monday. This week, the guys discussed whether or not Spider-Man No Way Home is going to be a good movie, which I say, obviously, yes, and there's no need to talk anymore about it.
But I just said you guys' episode was irrelevant. Way to really hype up the show, Sean. Jeez.
I had to do it, man. You know, if I'm not there,
that's right.
The show even happened at that point.
You know? Exactly.
It's like a tree falling in the woods.
Well, this show is happening. And we're going to kick things off with a conversation about Hulk number one, not Immortal Hulk. That era is over. We are now in the smashed up, but still legible, readable logo Hulk era. This is by Donny Cates, as I mentioned, Ryan Otley. We have Frank Martin on colors, Corey Pettit on letters, and a ton of variant cover artists. Too many to sit here and rattle off now, but this book did have some pretty cool variants, I'm not going to lie.
One note about the title, like the cover Hulk.
Yeah.
Ryan Otley's first title logo that he's ever made for a comic.
Oh, saw that. Interesting.
Yeah. Pretty cool. I think he did a good job. I like it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not groundbreaking, you know?
It's just wall breaking, apparently.
Yeah. So this issue presents us with a very different Bruce Banner than the one that we're used to. Bruce was sidelined for a while during the Immortal Hulk era, not as relevant as we're used to Bruce being. And now he's back with a vengeance. That's what it feels like to me. And he has created an entirely new system through which he has figured out how to control the Hulk and basically force the Hulk to do his bidding. It's pretty horrific, if I do say so myself, but also kind of ingenious, and I'm surprised that no one has really come up with, not this exact thing, but something similar to this in the past. So up front, Donnie Cates, I think, doing something cool with the character, but did it work in practice for you guys? That's my question.
I will say, this is the weirdest take on Hulk I've seen in a while, and I've read all of Immortal Hulk, which is weird. Mortal Hulk looks like a Cronenbergian body horror movie. And this is like what? Like a Gundam Evangelion take on the Hulk at this point?
Yeah.
Like the premise of this is that Bruce has turned the Hulk into a mech, essentially. But he's using his consciousness and the Hulk's consciousness to fuel and fly the Hulk's body. It's an out there take. I think it is a very interesting take, and I'm confident enough in Donnie Cates that I think it'll lead to something really fun. But this issue is really just set up. We don't really get much of what's going on here. So, is it a fine number one? Sure. I think it makes me want, it definitely makes me want to read the rest of what's happening in this. Because nothing happens really in this.
Right.
We find out Hulk is essentially a mech now, and Bruce Banner wants to get him away from everyone. And he has a fight with Tony Stark, and that's the premise of the book. It really is just more of
it's a weird one.
A tasty visual.
Did not expect a Starship Hulk, and I think the concept of an evil Bruce Banner, I thought was interesting. I don't know if it's been done before, and that alone got me through the rest of it because. The fact that he's using his psyche as this kind of machine and tool was that was pretty interesting, and I like the way that, you know, his anger is in the engine and he fuels it by, you know, having this infinite army come in and attack him, and that'll consistently keep him angry. But he's separated from that because he's able to build out these, compartmentalize these psyches. The concept is cool. I think in execution, it's a little shaky at the start, but I think by the end of the book, I understood what he was sort of going for and how this will pose a threat down the line. And that's interesting at the very least. I don't know if it feels like a Hulk book. And, you know, to be fair, I've only read the first volume of Immortal Hulk, and very distinct from that. And that's pretty much my cursory knowledge of the character. Outside of whatever else he like will randomly appear in an event. But I thought the concept's there. I'm just interested to see where he takes it from this point on and what an evil Bruce Banner means for the MCU.
So
the Marvel universe.
So I didn't like the visual interpretation of the concept. I don't like the idea of Bruce sitting there as like like Captain Kirk or something like that. For me, that's a little goofy.
He even had like the he was posing like Riker in one of the panels there.
Right. Yeah. I didn't love that, you know, and Bruce is, you know, in the body, right? Like, am I crazy?
Yes. Well, he's.
What do you?
He's
when in you the say mind. In the body. Yeah. What do you mean by in the body? Like
the Hulk he's
riding inside of him, like an actual mech, or
no? Like the Hulk and Bruce are one, right?
Oh, so, okay. Yeah.
So, I'm into the idea of Bruce in control of that, but I don't want to see that visually represented. I guess. So because to me, it's just too goofy. Like none of that exists, right? None of that is real. He's not really sitting there. He's not really yelling orders. He's just, you know, in control. And so for me, the visual representation of that didn't work at all.
I mean, if it's in the Hulk psyche, what is real then?
Yeah, I didn't need to see any of it.
Yeah.
And the only thing, the only part of it that I liked was the part that the Hulk saw, where he's visualizing himself in this endless war, because that's what's compelling him toward anger. You know, that's Bruce manipulating him, and that I'm fine with. But Bruce knows where he's at. He knows what's going on. So for him to be seeing himself sitting there as, you know, the captain of the starship is just way too goofy for me.
It's a mind palace too. Like he even puts he puts Betty in there as well.
Right.
Like we know that's not actually Betty. It's just a representation of her that can help tamper Bruce's own probably fucked up mannerisms. But I mean, I don't know. I like this book for the art a lot, I think, but I really don't know where it's going to go. We don't know who the villain is. We don't know what he's going for. We just know the current status of the Hulk and that he's doing something. It's very bare bones.
Yeah.
This felt like a free comic book day issue, if anything. You know what I mean? Like
I agree.
Like this could have been the second half of a free comic book day issue that, you know, it's like, yeah, it's fun to look at. Yeah, I'm going to pick it up, you know, but it's not a necessary part of it. The part that like Doctor Strange was like, yo, this Bruce is using a whole bunch of magic here. I've never seen anything like this. I'm like, that I'm curious about. Like, let me see what Bruce Banner in control of magic can do. If this is it, well, let me see a little more of it. But I think it was an okay little appetizer, but I need some meat for the next one to really get my teeth in it.
You guys
I'm hungry for Thanksgiving, apparently, with my analogies.
You guys both read Immortal Hulk. Is like, does this pick up cleanly from that at all?
Not really. The cleanest part is like he mentions the Hulk is immortal, and the fact that Bruce and the Hulk are still back on Earth is about as far as it goes.
It's clean in the sense that you don't need to know what happened in Immortal Hulk to read this.
Yeah,
sure. Okay.
And I think that's for the better. I guess I wish there was more continuity, but that story is very much over. And someone has to take over and do their own thing. So I'm cool with that. And I like the idea of Bruce Banner. Like, I like the idea of the pendulum swinging back toward Bruce, you know, and giving us a chance to dig into the psychology of Bruce Banner more. But this feels kind of like hammery, for lack of a better phrase, in the sense that, you know, Donny Cates is just hammering in, this is Bruce. This is Hulk. It doesn't feel like there's any nuance toward the way that Bruce feels right now. And it's not even all the way represented why he feels how he feels. It almost feels like you missed something. And
I think it's purposely that way. I think we did miss something. Because even Doctor Strange is surprised. He's like, I don't know how this happened. I don't know. Like we knew he was around, but like this is a change for him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And that's why I asked, because like it very much felt like there was like I missed an episode.
I think it's purposely obtuse for some reason. Yeah.
Okay.
And typical Donny Cates to bring in one of the plot points from another one of his books into a new book with that giant celestial mech that was in King in Black. So
that was cool.
Yeah. I felt that this would probably end up being an art showcase, and Ryan Otley does a tremendous job. I think this is probably better than the Spider-Man stuff, at least up front. Some of these panels I just think are really gorgeous. Like, and the coloring is doing a lot of the legwork too, but like even just this one, right? Like the basic stuff is so beautiful. His Hulk face is really great. I like his design for Hulk without the mech a lot more than the mech. I think that this mech Hulk thing looks, again, a little goofy.
It's bringing me back to, what was it? Was it Remender's Hulk?
It was Jason Aaron, I think.
Jason Aaron's Hulk. I remember there was like, it was like during the Marvel Now phase, I believe.
Yeah. Remender didn't have a Hulk run, I don't believe.
there was a Matteo Scalera did the art on a Hulk run with somebody. It was somebody I was really into at the time. So
it looks like that one issue of X-Men where Wolverine has like he's coming like out of the lab and he has like the red helmet sort of situation on still, and he's running away in the snow.
Yeah, I can't find who the artist is or what run you're referring to, but I remember that too, and I really didn't like that. I just think the Hulk is a character who, you know, he's all about his physicality, and so what would he ever have a need for armor for? I didn't like it then, I don't like it now. I don't think it really adds anything.
I don't think it's armor as much as like Weapon X Wolverine sort of stuff, you know, like this is just the stuff he needs so Bruce can control him properly.
Yeah, like enhancements or something.
I guess. Yeah. It even looks like Weapon X Wolverine a bit too. Less naked, but
yeah.
No green glizzy in this comic, guys. Sorry.
We'll have to wait for the Triple X parody.
The Marvel Black Label book to come out.
Instead of the green door, it'll be the green glizzy. So this is the first of two books we'll be talking about this week that feature the Avengers in some capacity. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of when a character has a solo book to kind of immediately utilize the team that they're a part of. I think it was probably more effective here, if I'm honest, just because the idea that, you know, the Avengers are worried about what Bruce is doing suggests that it's worth worrying about, that this is something really serious. So I like that. I hope, though, that the Avengers either aren't really a part of the book anymore, or they're only a part of it as the Earth's defense against whatever Bruce is doing.
Sean, did you finish Immortal Hulk?
No.
Okay. But like the way Avengers was used in that book was more of like a barrier for the Hulk. They were like trying to control him. They weren't really individual characters as much as like the idea of the Avengers.
Right.
Which I prefer that as a use for Avengers in the Hulk book.
Agreed.
I don't think the Hulk really has a distinct relationship with any particular Avenger, maybe outside of like She-Hulk and maybe Cap, but it's more of like he just fights against the idea of like this establishment trying to control him. So
he beats the shit out of Iron Man and that's about it.
Does he ever get along with Tony Stark?
No, I mean,
it's great, I love it. Yeah. He does whatever he wants to do.
I'm torn because I don't think this is bad by any means. It's not bad. It's a perfectly fine setup issue. It's very, very much an issue one, and not in my opinion, in the best ways. Sure. I think, Tyler, to your point, if this were like an issue zero or a Free Comic Book Day issue or one of those like stories that they always do, like those, the point one or the Marvel number one, where it's just several stories that kind of give you an idea of where their books are going this year. That would have been a lot better. I think this is so much setup that you can't get a feel for what to expect. And that's the problem. So I would say pick it up, but don't expect to have a clear understanding of what Donny Cates is here to say about the Hulk going forward.
Yeah. And if you're a Ryan Otley fan, just pick it up. It's a good look at.
It's a no-brainer. Yeah.
That's the only reason I'd pick it up. Otherwise, I'd probably wait for a trade on this and hear what people were saying. Like similar to Immortal Hulk, where you know, the first few issues and all that, kind of a sleeper hit. I'd wait for that.
Towards the end of Immortal Hulk, they weren't really talking about the book as much. But
yeah,
towards the end,
glad we don't have to deal with that in this Hulk run. So Ryan Otley, don't fail me.
Nothing comes out about either one of them. Well, let's move away from the green glizzy and get on over to the Black Panther.
Okay. Good job. Good job. Call it yourself. Okay. Can I just say right off the bat?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sucker for an Alex Ross cover. Do you have the Alex Ross cover, Sean? Can you?
Did you
pick that one up?
Oh, it's nice. So good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Alex Ross, I think, is maybe the greatest comic book artist, one of the greatest, most iconic, certainly. And I mean, look at his Captain America, right? Like it's literally
that's a double cover, right? Does it extend?
Yep.
I'll
not be lazy and pull it out.
Get those grubby mitts all over that nice bleached paper.
Oh no, a thumbprint.
Why aren't you wearing white gloves, Sean? Jeez.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, man. So great looking cover aside, we do have John Ridley, who's jumping onto this book with Juan Cabal as the artist, Federico Blee as the color artist, Joe Sabino did the letters and the designs. And as we mentioned, the cover was done by Alex Ross. I think John Ridley probably has a lot to live up to. You know, I think, I don't know that John Ridley has done anything like amazingly stand out yet. And so
in comics.
I haven't seen 12 Years a Slave. I don't know about you.
It's pretty good. Yeah. The movie's good. The idea of it is horrible, but yeah.
better be horrible. Ta-Nehisi Coates, Black Panther run, I thought lost a ton of steam by the end. And John Ridley coming in on a fresh start. I really have a lot of high hopes. This first issue, I liked it. I can't say that I loved it. I didn't love the inclusion of the Avengers. I thought it was pointless.
Yep.
Black Panther as like this like leader of the Avengers, like he's giving the orders on the team. That felt very much like main character syndrome, where I've not really ever seen Black Panther in that role before. And I'm sure
where he does everything.
Yeah, exactly. Where he has to tell Doctor Strange what to do. Sorry, not buying that one. But that aside, the conspiracy angle, Black Panther keeping secrets, he has this like squad of sleeper agents and stuff like that. I'm into all of that. All of that I thought was cool. But my two biggest complaints were the Avengers inclusion, and on the art side, Black Panther looks like he's about 27 years old, and that didn't work for me at all.
I really like Juan Cabal's art, but he does have, a history of giving everyone kind of like baby face. You know? Like everyone just looks young and pretty, you know, which is fine when you're doing, you know, all new Wolverine or Elektra, but it's a little, little different here.
Yeah. Like for example, just a quick example, this cover, right? That looks like Black Panther to me. That's exactly what I think Black Panther looks like. But then when you actually open the book and you see that he's portrayed like that, you know, there's just no way that that's T'Challa. It's not possible.
There's the interaction between him and Shuri, and like they look the same age.
Like, also, like in terms
talking
of
to each other.
Yeah. In terms of coloring, like if you just show those two different Black Panthers, they're like one's like lighter skin, right? Like there's like no consistency with skin tone.
That's another issue with
Marvel Comics in general, really, with a lot of the colorists. I mean, like at Storm, she's six different, you know, her skin tone different each book she's in.
It's rough.
Yeah, I think editorial really needs to kind of step up their game on that kind of stuff.
Like we know that T'Challa is a dark-skinned black man. How did this happen?
And I in like my view of comic T'Challa is not Chadwick Boseman. Like I love Chadwick Boseman to death. That's a horrible turn of phrase. I love him, but sorry, I broke Sean. But like I picture Black Panther to be like an older man. Like I picture, you know, he's like the king. You know, I always pictured him maybe like late 30s or so, like a Bruce Wayne sort of thing.
Yeah.
Not this younger guy. I mean, I'll be honest with this. I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I fell asleep reading this book towards the beginning. I think that there is a good third of it that is just writing off T'Challa as the king of Wakanda, which I guess it has to do the legwork to get him in that new status quo. But that legwork was super talky for me.
Yeah.
Then it was dragging on. Like I get it. I get it. Wakanda has a parliamentary democracy now. You know, T'Challa doesn't need to be the end all be all to anything that goes on in Wakanda. But once it started to get going, I was enjoying it. But I'm with you. A, there's a continuity issue with the Avengers because Cap's like, T'Challa, you're never around. He's been in like every issue of Avengers. I'm reading that book. He's always there. He's dealing with vampires right now.
Right.
And also the voice for Steve was way off for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is not in any instance where Steve Rogers would not be understanding of anyone in the Avengers. He's kind of whiny in this.
Yeah. Yeah. He's treating Black Panther like the girlfriend or the girl that he really wants to be with, but she's like into someone else or something like that.
Like where my hug at, you know?
Like, yeah. Like, I didn't believe in that at all. Captain America himself has had to have absences from, you know, his role as Cap from the Avengers, things like that. So that just didn't ring true for me. I don't know, man. I wanted to like this a lot more than I did. And like I said, certain aspects of what was set up here, I enjoyed. But when you think about A Nation Under Our Feet or whatever that initial Ta-Nehisi Coates run was called and the gravity with which it approached the character, Wakanda, everything else, even Al Ewing on Immortal Hulk, juxtapose that with what we just read. They feel very much more like run of the mill to start with these issue ones. They don't have a weight to them that makes them feel like I have to read them. Like this is a definitive must read take on the character. And that's something that this book is going to have to contend with because, you know, I think John Ridley still has something to prove as a writer in comics. And I think that Black Panther is important to Marvel now in a way that he might not have been 10 years ago. The book's got to be good and it's got to be better than good. And right now, I think it's just all right.
Yeah, we live in a world now where there will not be a time where Black Panther isn't an ongoing.
Right.
Which is why you would have told me that 10 years ago. I'd be like, you're fucking nuts. But
exactly.
Yeah. Marco, did you have some Black Panther thoughts on this?
No. You guys said it all, man. No other thoughts. I don't know the character. It's
really
this doesn't like the only thing we read was for the book club was the Tennessee Code stuff that that Sean shouted out. And so like this is just like another layer to him for me. I don't have an image or a voice for him formed in my mind, and I thought that this was acceptable. It worked. It didn't like grab me, but
you didn't start screaming E-Bombay after finishing the issue, did you?
I did not.
Okay,
Tyler, you are fucking looking for trouble, man.
What? I just watched Black Panther the other day. That's what they were doing. I had the subtitles on because my brother's half deaf, so you know.
Wait, for real? Or,
yeah, he is. Yeah, okay. He had an accident a year ago. He's fine. He's half fine. You know. Yeah.
Love him to death. But like,
I'm like, oh, dude, that was totally accidental. That was totally accidental. But I will give this book two things. Mm-hmm. If what this book is international spy thriller Black Panther book,
that sounds
I'm ready
cool.
for that. Yeah, I'm ready for that. Which it looks like it might be setting up for that kind of story. And they brought back the high collared cape for Black Panther.
I like that.
That's a big plus in my book.
Yeah. Again, perfectly acceptable, serviceable. If the rest of the series is as good as this, it'll be a solid entry into the history of Black Panther. But that's all it will be. And I really want more. I just do. That's just where I'm at. You know, I want more for this character. And there's there's like a way that some superhero books start their runs that's like very generic. And this feels like that. This feels like it doesn't feel like only John Ridley could tell this story. In fact, I feel like a version of this has probably been done before. And that's the problem.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. This, I would say, pull it if you like Black Panther.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big proponent of it. If it's a number one, just check it out.
Yeah. Make up your own mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pass unless you like Black Panther.
Which a lot of people do. So
there you go.
I hope the book sells. I want it to sell. I think
the last page where it's like coming soon to Black Panther, and there was like a face off between him and Storm. I'm like, okay, all right. Let me get some of that. And that's like it's Queen Regent Storm too. So I guess she's now in a higher position of power than T'Challa is. So let's see how that dynamic works out.
I was gonna ask, who is Omaloa and Jai?
Believe they're new characters to me. People, I don't recognize them.
Yeah, okay. Just
World of Wakanda people. Yeah, I agree with that. And I like that they included that little page, that teaser page of like, this is what you can expect. I love when
actually Hulk could have used that.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be frank, I kind of think that should be a Marvel mandate.
Along with the recap page?
Mm-hmm. Along with the recap page. Yeah.
Yep.
Sure. I like the term Marvel mandate. That just sounds fun to me. So I'll just say yes. Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed our conversation about these books. If you did, make sure that you leave us a follow, rating, and a review wherever you're listening to us. YouTube.com/TheComicsPals to subscribe to our channel. Get us to 500 plus subscribers. Like the video, share with your friends. Let your friends know that we're out here and you like what we do. Encourage them to subscribe as well. Listen to our main show, The Comics Pals, every Monday. Listen to our image reviews every Wednesday. If you are curious about what we're going to do for the Hawkeye TV show, I'll explain it more on our main show, but we're going to do a season overview whenever that wraps up. But also I wanted to say very happy Thanksgiving. This episode is dropping on Thanksgiving Day. So if you're spending your Thanksgiving with us, that is very cool. And we are thankful for you. So with that, for these guys, I'm Sean saying happy Thanksgiving. And until next week, take care, guys.